The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hi, this is Mike Edwards with another edition of the Armchair Traveler from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. And over the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the National Geographic Traveler, the News and Observer, and AAA Go Magazine. Now, before we begin our journey on today's edition, let me remind you that neither the Triangle Radio Reading Service nor I are endorsing any of the cruises, safaris, tours, or other travel itineraries that might be featured in the articles we will be reading. Now, they're simply selected for your enjoyment and edification. And our journey today picks up with the 21st of the 50 states road trips that we find in the April-May 2018 issue of National Geographic Traveler. Now, you may recall from a previous episode that we started looking at food focus routes, and we covered Georgia and Wisconsin, and that's going to bring us to Kentucky, which is number 21. This is the Kentucky Bourbon Trail, Lexington to Louisville, and it's quite a delight that both cities are, if you get a chance to go out that way. This bluegrass and bourbon trail features 10 mid-state distilleries. Plan a three-day drive to tour Durban makers such as Jim Beam and Woodford Reserve, and to watch a free morning training session at Keeneland Racetrack. Then on to number 22, New York, Hudson Valley Food Tour. Put Manhattan in the rearview mirror on a farm-to-table tour of the nearby 150-mile-long valley. I love the thrill of watching the city fall away, says Madeline Winefield, a Manhattan writer. Try Hudson Hills in the town of Cold Spring for local fare. Number 23 is Oregon, Farmlandia Loop. Just south of foodie favorite Portland, this savory Oregon trail visits 18 homegrown stops, including U-Pick farms, vineyards and wineries, and farm stands and farmers markets. One must, a tour of Bob's Red Mill World Headquarters in Milwaukee, Oregon. Okay, so keep that in mind. Not Milwaukee, Wisconsin, but Milwaukee, Oregon. Then we move on to number 24 as we begin to explore those road routes in our 50 states tour, road routes that are best for history. And we start with number 24 in Alabama. Alabama Civil Rights Trail, Birmingham to Tuskegee. Commemorate the 50th anniversary of Martin Luther King's death by exploring places important to the civil rights movement. Stops on this roughly 175-mile route, part of the 14-state U.S. Civil Rights Trail launched in January, include Selma's famous Edmund Winston Pettus Bridge, site of the 1965's Bloody Sunday attack on unarmed voting rights marchers. Number 25 is Delaware, Red Clay Valley Scenic Byway, New Castle County between Route 52 and Route 48. Designed to protect land, water quality, and rural life in the Red Clay Creek watershed, the 27-mile route follows 28 different roads over hills, through woods, and across the rebuilt ashland-covered bridge. April to November, tour gardens and other green spaces at Mount Cuba Center, which expanded to 1,083 acres this year. 26 is Illinois, Life and Times of Lincoln Loop, Bloomington to Springfield. The land of Lincoln turns 200 in 2018. Join the party by celebrating Illinois' favorite son on a 200-mile round-trip loop designed by Looking for Lincoln coordinators of the 42-county Abraham Lincoln National Heritage Area. Two top stops, Springfield's Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum, and the new Bicentennial Plaza opening August 26th. 27 is Iowa. Great River Road, New Albany to Warsaw. Wind along the Mississippi River's western edge on Iowa's curvy stretch of the Great River Road National Scenic Byway. From the state's northern border with Minnesota, the route rolls some 325 miles south atop limestone bluffs and through river towns and farmland to Keokuk's George M. Verity Riverboat Museum. Number 28 is Maryland, Harriet Tubman Underground Railroad Byway. Abolitionist Harriet Tubman and Frederick Douglass were born slaves on Maryland's rural eastern shore. This roughly 125-mile route begins in Cambridge and visits the year-old Harriet Tubman Underground Railroad Visitor Center. Celebrate Douglass's bicentennial by adding on Talbot County's Frederick Douglass Driving Tour. You take Maryland 331 from Choptank to arrive there. Number 29 is Massachusetts. Essex Coastal Scenic Byway. Highway, Linda Salisbury, explore nearly 400 years of history in only 90 miles. This northeastern coastal route roams through 14 seafaring communities, including Salem, which marks the 350th birthday of the House of Seven Gables. Rockport, Gloucester, and Manchester-by-the-Sea have become big-screen filming locations. Lunch on lobster and fried clams at Essex Village Restaurant. And finally, number 20 is Missouri. Military History Tour, Kansas City to Jefferson City. The war to end war didn't do that, but the World War I did end in 1918. Commemorate that centennial and cross a glass bridge over a symbolic western front field of 9,000 blooms, one for every 1,000 war dead, at Kansas City's National World War I Museum and Memorial. Other stops on the 170-mile drive, Independence's Harry S. Truman Library and Museum, and Jefferson City's National Cemetery. So lots of fun and things to do as you take that 50-state tour. And we're going to continue touring the best routes for history in a future episode of Armchair Traveler. Now let's focus on a couple of North Carolina locales. Have you ever considered turning your home into a B&B, a bread and breakfast inn? Well, often these are found in unique settings like historic districts, or they can represent symbols of bygone eras. Charlotte Observer writer Mark Price recently found one for sale offshore. Ex-Coast Guard Tower, now B&B, up for auction. It appeared in the May 10th, 2018 issue of the News and Observer. A former Coast Guard light station built 34 miles off North Carolina's coast is being put up for auction by the Charlotte man who turned it into the world's strangest bread and breakfast. Bidding for the Frying Pan Tower, which sits outside the United States jurisdiction, started at $10,000 and was up to $42,400 by Wednesday, May 9th. Richard Neal bought it in 2010 and believes it will likely go for six figures, given the nation's booming housing market. Auction details are posted on www.fptower.com. That's www.fptower.com. Hundreds of people have stayed at the tower since he started renting rooms in 2012, and more than a few have expressed an interest in buying the place, he says. The big question, he says, is what the next owner might do with it, given the countless possibilities. I've heard talk of everything from a casino to a brothel to marijuana growing, said Neal, a software sales engineer for a large California-based company. They could probably do it legally, but we're hoping for someone who has a more, how should I say this, public type of interest with it. When Neal bought the light station, the Coast Guard had a lot of rules, including a stipulation that the buyer purchase it sight unseen. That's because there were fears of liability during tours, Neal said. In a move that many have said was crazy, Neal decided to bid $11,262 for the tower and turned out to be the high bidder. However, the Coast Guard thought that was a little low, so they negotiated a price of $85,000, which Neal thought was more than fair. At that point, an Oklahoma native who had been on the ocean only once before became the official owner of a rust-covered lighthouse that towered 140 feet above the Atlantic. Neal says his mission was to turn it into an inn while keeping the structure largely intact as a monument to 1960s construction ingenuity. It was built in 1964 at a cost of $2 million to warn passing ships of the shallow frying pan shoals. The Coast Guard staffed it until 1979 when the beacon was automated. Then GPS navigation made the tower obsolete. Neal says his risk paid off in countless ways. He loves the excitement of the tower, and business has been great thanks to people who want a unique, if not strange, bed and breakfast experience. On at least three occasions, Neal says he's been on the tower during hurricanes, including when the eye passed directly over the tower as he sat there. It's just the wind and the rain and an occasional flying fish, Neal said. The ocean goes from small waves to giant hills of water, and the color of the water turns into the most amazing aqua sherbet because it's frothed up with air. The waves are as wide as the tower, but it was built so well you don't move. The waves just pass by. It's incredible, he notes. So why is he selling? Well, Neil says he's proved everything he set out to prove, including that such a crazy project could work. His prices are robust, $598 per person for a three-day stay, or $1,295 if you prefer to take a helicopter to the tower rather than a boat, meals included. He's nearing 60 now and believes it's time for someone younger to step in. It's truly a place to ignore the world, but I'm just ready to let go, Neil said. Owning it has been the most fun I've had in my entire life, and I'll leave with a million stories to tell. Who knows? Maybe I'll find a decommissioned oil rig in the Gulf and turn it into a franchise. Wow. Well, from Frying Pan Tower, we're going to set sail to the mainland, then head to the northeastern corner of North Carolina. Writer Richard Stradling finds North Carolina's dismal swamp rest stop among the nation's most beautiful. His article from the April 29, 2018 issue of the News and Observer. As buildings go, those at the State Welcome Center at Dismal Swamp on U.S. 17, just south of the Virginia state line, don't seem all that special, two single-story structures connected by a breezeway. But the setting, including a boardwalk and benches along the Dismal Swamp Canal, earned the center a spot among the 15 most beautiful rest stops in the country, according to Architectural Digest magazine. The list includes some pretty spectacular places, including on the Florida Keys, along a glacial lake in Alaska, and atop the Continental Divide in Colorado. The magazine introduces the list by saying the roadside stops are likely more beautiful than the traveler's final destination. The North Carolina Department of Transportation's Welcome Center overlooks the only swamp on the list. I know the word dismal does not sound like something you would consider unusually beautiful or even desirable to go visit, said Donna Stewart, director of the center. We were just super excited, especially to see that the other company that we were included with. The first building at the Welcome Center opened in 1989 and was quickly deemed too small. A second building, now devoted to North Carolina tourist information, went up a few years later, leaving the original devoted to restrooms. But Stewart says the surroundings are what strike people most, particularly this time of year with the flowering dogwoods under the towering pines and the dark, reflective water of the canal nearby. It's just very picturesque, she said. We often hear what a pleasant surprise we are. I think we're a little oasis that people happen upon on this busy highway. The Welcome Center also serves as a gateway to Dismal Swamp State Park, just across the canal, a 22-mile stretch of the intercoastal waterway that connects the Elizabeth River in Virginia with the Pasquotank River near Elizabeth City. Some of the center's visitors arrive by boat. Stewart says 1,800 to 2,000 recreational boats pass through the canal each year before Hurricane Matthew clogged the route with shoals and downed trees in the fall of 2016. Architectural Digest has produced numerous most beautiful lists over the years in such categories as hotels, chapels in Europe, and college dormitories, but this is the first for rest stops. Author Christine Hansen said she looked at buildings' architectural pedigree and design, but noted that the views of nature were also important. Her description of the Dismal Swamp Welcome Center doesn't mention the buildings. Motorists can pull over and treat themselves to a stroll along a nature trail, she writes, or a quick dip in the water if they've got their own kayak or a canoe. Wow, that was fun. Well, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and other social media are often filled with travel stories and photos, and many of you may have already learned that. Well, in the May 7th, 2018 issue of the News and Observer, writer Josh Schaefer tells us about scenic locations in the City of Oaks, a nickname for Raleigh, that are picture-perfect for social media. So let's see what Josh found. From a boulder in the Neuse River to a rooftop bar downtown, Raleigh offers dozens of photographs for the casual photographer looking to boost Instagram followers. Some of the city's signature backdrops are obvious to a newcomer. The skyline view from Boylan Bridge, the cannons on the Capitol lawn, the 1,250-pound acorn sculpture that drops on New Year's Eve. But here's a collection of spots made for Instagram, a list of landmarks to get people double-tapping. They may not rake in the likes as fast as Disneyland, the most Instagrammed location in 2017, but they all say Oak City. happy collecting. His first one is Sir Walter Raleigh statue. From his perch outside the Raleigh Convention Center, Sir Walter presides over the city's biggest gatherings, always decked out in season-appropriate attire. The city's bronze mascot practically always begs for a snapshot. Where do you find it? 500 South Salisbury Street, Raleigh. And you can learn more at RaleighConvention.com. That's RaleighConvention.com. Next is Gandhi statue, hidden behind Marbles Kids Museum downtown. The 9-foot statue of Mohandas Gandhi shows the Indian activist in full stride above an inscription of the famous quotation he more or less said, "You must be the change you wish to see in the world." Gandhi's presence obviously elevates any portrait, and you can find his statue at 201 East Harget Street in Raleigh. And more information is available at marbleskidsmuseum.org, marbleskidsmuseum.org. Next up, the Daily Planet. This 72-foot model of Earth went up in 2012, the can't-miss icon that stands outside the Nature Research Center, the newest wing of the North Carolina Museum of Natural Sciences, and just right down the street from the Legislative Building. Inside, it's a three-story theater with viewing balconies on two levels, but outside, it has graced the covers of 1,000 holiday greeting cards, especially popular holding up the planet Atlas style. Where do you find it? Well, it's at 11 West Jones Street, Raleigh, and online get more information about the Daily Planet at naturalsciences.org. That's naturalsciences.org. And then we have the All Are Welcome mural. Over the past decade, as downtown Raleigh awakened, some of its bleakest walls got splashed with paint, making the city a destination for mural gazing. One of the favorites, Luke Miller Buchanan's All Are Welcome, graces the southern wall of famed Poole's Diner from award-winning chef Ashley Christensen, known for her activism, and greets drivers coming up South McDowell Street, one of the city's busiest entryways. Most original Instagram shot, a group of wearing banana costumes. Okay. Where do you find this photo op? Well, it's at 426 South McDowell Street in Raleigh, and it faces the Red Hat Amphitheater downtown. Then we have the Andy Griffith statue. In the Andy Griffith Show, Deputy Bernie Fife famously described Raleigh as his off-duty party location. So it's fitting that North Carolina actor and sitcom co-star Andy Griffith would grace Pullen Park as a life-size statue, fishing pole in hand, looking admiringly down at Opie. The historic park on Western Boulevard recently got a facelift, but Andy and Opie remain a top draw for visitors, even though the fishing poles appear to have been broken off or stolen, a perfect case for Bernie Fife. Where do you find it? Well, it's at Pullen Park, and that's at 408 Ash Avenue in Raleigh. The statue is to the left of the carousel, not far from the boathouse, and, of course, the train's nearby, too, for those of you who remember that. And then we move on to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial Gardens. On the southeast Raleigh Street, named for the slain civil rights leader, stands a 6-foot statue of King in clerical robes. Though a place for solemn reflection, the life-size sculpture stands at ground level, making it ideal for group photos. And you find it at 1215 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, Raleigh. It's at the intersection of Rock Quarry Road. Hunt Library, North Carolina State University. For a place built for quiet contemplation, the sprawling James B. Hunt Library presents a colorful string of sightseeing opportunities. From the purple lounge chairs and the rain garden reading lounge to the egg-shaped study chairs, the library's eccentric design tempts students and visitors to snap a quick shot. Two people, it turns out, can fit inside the eggs. For a preview, check out the more than 7,000 photos tagged hashtag Hunt Library, that's the pound sign, or hashtag Hunt Library on Twitter. And you find it at 1070 Partners Way in Raleigh, 1070 Partners Way. And online, get more information at lib.ncsu.edu/Hunt Library. That's lib.ncsu.edu/Hunt Library. Raleigh Rose Garden. With 60 year-round rose beds, Raleigh Little Theater's backyard draws weddings, food truck rodeos, and an army of iPhone cameras. Not only do the blooms show off rare color, but the amphitheater and the semicircular pergola give the garden the feel of a scene from Shakespeare's Midsummer Night's Dream, which it occasionally hosts. You can find it at 301 Pogue Street in Raleigh, and online, check it out at RaleighLittleTheater.org/visit-us. raleigh.org/rose-garden. Again, raleigh.org/visit-us/rose-garden. Sayre Rings, North Carolina Museum of Art. No set of Instagram pics can be complete without a shot from Thomas Sayre's Jara sculpture in the museum park, which inspires people to pose with the giant half-buried hoops springing out of their ears or spiraling from the top of their heads. Cast from earth and soil, the rings line up for perfect portraits, and you find it at 2110 Blue Ridge Road, Raleigh, at the NC Museum of Art, and you can check it out online at ncartmuseum.org, ncartmuseum.org. Lassiter Mill Falls. Few realize that Sleepy Crabtree Creek, which flows under Capitol Boulevard and through some of Raleigh's more industrial neighborhoods, forms a picturesque waterfall. But those who visit the park off Lassiter Mill, not far from North Hills, invariably pose in front of the rushing water, often with lips locked. Find it near the intersection of Old Lassiter Mill and Lassiter Mill Road. So lots of fun and photo opportunities there as you travel around the city of Raleigh, the city of Oaks. Picture perfect, huh? Well, from time to time, we like to take a peek at the Why I Travel column in Virtuoso Travel. Now, in the April-May 2018 issue, we're introduced to Ruth Peters, whose early barnstorming adventures spurred a life of exploration, and she was interviewed by David Hockman. At 98, Ruth Peters still remembers the horse-drawn wagon she rode in through Kansas farmland to a one-room schoolhouse. Times certainly have changed. Accompanied by her daughter, Gail Christie, Peters now travels first class on European adventures twice a year and on at least as many cruises from the Middle East to New Zealand. Peters says her secret to a long life of travel is tons of vitamins, a strong faith, and a grateful attitude. That and the in-the-know planning and experience of her Houston-based travel advisor, Sandra Ortiz. I've always loved seeing new places and meeting new people. My husband, Kenneth, opened the first flying school in central Kansas, and we'd do fly-ins with a group of called International Flying Farmers. We made friends all over the country. In those days, you could fly anywhere. We once flew around the faces on Mount Rushmore. We flew to Cuba days after Castro took over. The streets were silent. All the hotels were empty. Even at the Tropicana Club, it was just us and the band. Really eerie and scary, but so much fun. I love cruises. We usually sail on Seabourn, but in recent years, we've done the Rhine with Viking and toured the French Riviera and Greek Isles on a Windstar ship. My daughter and I really appreciate flowers and gardening. Every year we go to the Chelsea Flower Show in London to see the beautiful displays. It's amazing. There's always something new to learn in life. With our advisor, Sandra, it's like she can read our minds. She knows our taste, what we like to do, what we don't like, and how much energy we have. She knows I don't like wheelchairs, but she'll have one waiting to get me quickly through airports. I can't stand TSA. I just want to get to wherever I'm going. I really like Germany and seeing all its little towns. Wartburg Castle, where Martin Luther translated the New Testament. Mainz, where Gutenberg invented the printing press. That's what allowed us to have all our books in the Bible and all our news. Oh, and there's such a great creperie in that town. In Venice, we wanted to pick up a chandelier. Sandra connected us with a local guide who found a wonderful glassmaker on Murano. The artist decided we should meet her family. We had so much in common. They've had one factory for generations on Murano. Our Kansas farm has been in our family for generations. We really hit it off. A friend of ours in Romania works for the royal family's financial advisor. A couple of years ago, he invited us to a royal garden party. We ended up at Pele's Castle in the Carpathian Mountains at a party hosted by King Michael himself. Can I just say, wow! For my 98th birthday, we cruised to Dubai on the Seabourn Encore. The trip started out in Rome, and Sandra had cake and champagne ready at the hotel, plus she got us upgraded. The cruise director greeted us on the ship, and our cabin was decorated with a sign and balloons. Everyone sang happy birthday, and the captain came over. I was treated like a queen. Well, what's next? Australia and New Zealand this spring for my 100th, I think, maybe Italy again. I always love Italy. We'll see what God has in store for us. What a great attitude, and what a lot of fun she must be when traveling, huh? Well, you know, from time to time, we take a peek at the Why I Travel column in Virtuoso Travel. I need to remind you, of course, like other publications, we're not endorsing any of the trips. And this particular publication is designed for travel experts and travel industry people, but they do have some interesting articles from time to time I think you find enjoyable. Well, in June, as we take a look at the Carolina events calendar from AAA Go Magazine, the May-June 2018 issue, we find that Summer Nights is coming up June 1st, Broadway at the Beach, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Nightly entertainment series features live musical performances, street performers, and more. And this will go on nightly through September 1st. It's all free, by the way. Wow. So you can check it out at BroadwayAtTheBeach.com. BroadwayAtTheBeach.com. June 2nd, we have the Sweetgrass Cultural Arts Festival, Mount Pleasant Memorial Waterfront Park, Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. You can celebrate the Gullah Geechee heritage with an extensive showcase of sweetgrass baskets. And this event is free as well. CharlestonCVB.com gets you more information about the Sweetgrass Cultural Arts Festival. That's CharlestonCVB.com. Then also on June 2nd, we have the Back Porch Old Time Music Jam. Now, this is Okunaluftee Visitor Center in Cherokee, North Carolina. You bring an acoustic instrument and join in, or just sit back and enjoy traditional Appalachian music. It's all free. And again, it's called the Back Porch Old Time Music Jam. Check it out at GreatSmokies.com. That's GreatSmokies.com. And then June 7th through 9th, we have Party in the Pines. This is in Main Street, Whitmire, South Carolina. Food, arts and crafts, a poker run on motorcycles, a bicycle ride, parade and carnival. Live entertainment and street dance. It's all free. A lot of freebies going on this summer, huh? And again, this is Party in the Pines, Main Street, Whitmire, South Carolina. Find out more at DiscoverSouthCarolina.com. That's DiscoverSouthCarolina.com. Now, June 7th through 10th, we have the Carolina Country Music Festival, Burroughs and Chapin Pavilion Place, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. You can enjoy 3 days of hot country artists, Luke Bryan, Toby Keith, and more. Now, there's a fee for this one. And you can check it out online at CarolinaCountryMusicFest.com. That's CarolinaCountryMusicFest.com, all taking place at Myrtle Beach, June 7th through 10th. June 15th is Flag Day, the Battleship North Carolina at Wilmington. You can fly your own flag at the Battleship Visitors and bring a flag or purchase one at the ship's store. And there's a fee for this event, and you can check out more about the Battleship North Carolina and Flag Day at ncbrunswick.com, ncbrunswick.com. June 15th through 16th, we have the 301 Endless Yard Sale. We've mentioned this in some previous episodes. U.S. 301 in Johnston County. Now, the communities along a 100-mile stretch of Highway 301, they come together with antiques, collectibles, and more. It's all free, and you got plenty to look at. This is the 301 Endless Yard Sale, June 15th through 16th. Now, they actually have a website online. Check it out at 301endlessyardsale.com. 301endlessyardsale.com if you'd like to participate in that event. Wow. And then finally, for June 29th and all the way through July 22nd, we have Liberty Mountain, the Revolutionary Drama. This Joy Performance Center, Kings Mountain, North Carolina, and they experience the danger and excitement of the Battle of Kings Mountain. And there is a fee of for this, and you can check it out at LibertyMountainDrama.com. That's LibertyMountainDrama.com. Again, this is the Revolutionary War Drama, June 29th through July 22nd at the Joy Performance Center in Kings Mountain, North Carolina. Not very difficult to get to, just about a two-and-a-half-hour drive, I'd say, as you head towards Charlotte along I-85, and you get off at the Kings Mountain interchange there. So you can have a lot of fun this summer. So lots of possibilities for travel, huh? Wow. Indeed, there are. Wow. We hope you've enjoyed your journey today. We've already run out of time for our edition of Armchair Traveler, but we hope that you'll be listening next time and that you've enjoyed your journey today. I'm Mike Edwards, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Content of our program intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. Comments and questions can be directed to 919-832-5138. Bye-bye.